Now you're going to have to listen carefully this morning because I'm going to plow in some fields that are going to bring great production. The first thing I want you to grasp is this and footnote this because this is where we're headed. Understanding the mystery and manifestation of the gospel of grace. Understanding the mystery and the manifestation of the gospel of grace. Now, this is not this morning text, but I need to read a verse here. I need you to turn with me to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. First, let's read 2 Timothy, because I think if you read the first, this verse first, it's going to start unfolding some mystery about grace. Now, grace, and I need to get this into you. Grace is God having a divine influence upon the heart. And its reflection in your life, including gratitude, knowing that you're acceptable, benefits, favors, gifts, joy, liberty or liberality, and pleasures, delight, sweetness, goodwill, and loving kindness. Incredibly extravagant generosity of God. Get the tape. Don't be like, okay. Get the tape. You ain't going to be the keeper of all that. Get the tape. But that's a definition of grace that we need to hear. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, this verse must be addressed when we begin to talk about living the grace life, living the life that the cross provided for us through the goodness of God. It talks about having a form of godliness. You with me? But denying what? From such turn away. Now, Paul in Galatians talks about, you read the first chapter, he's talking about another gospel, which is a perverted gospel. And the perverted gospel is about what you do. The blessing gospel is what about God has already done for you. And all you got to do is step in it by faith. See, it's, we have so much doing religion, and there are some things to do, but the doing don't make it happen. You can't make happen what is already done. All right. So what I'm hearing now is, in robbing us of the revelation of grace or the mystery of grace, it have led us into believing that the battle is ours and not the Lord. So therefore, we end up with an Ishmael instead of an Isaac. We end up with a Hagar instead of a Sarah. God wanted Sarah to have that baby. But when you try to help God, you go into a Hagar. And you get something you don't want. And so I believe us switching back to grace, we understand grace, we're going to stop trying to do it ourselves and let God flow through us and receive the blessing easily. I'm going to ask some questions in a few minutes after read these two verses that can bring us online so I can get this thing, understanding the mystery and manifestation of the gospel of grace. Now, you're not going to understand the mystery and the manifestation of gospel, the manifestation of the gospel of grace if you never heard, number one, there is a gospel of grace, and number two, what is it? How can it change my life? You mean to tell me I've been going all this time on a gospel that wasn't telling me the whole manifestation of the cross or redemption? And to some degree, yes, we've been stuck in a hole. So now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Always, this verse always enthused me. This has been a verse that of great potential. And finally got the time now to minister it when I got a hold of an understanding of the revelation of the grace of the gospel. And without controversy, y'all in that same voice? Great is what? The what? The what? Mystery of godliness. You see, the mystery of godliness. Now, you remember they had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Why? Because they didn't understand the mystery of godliness. See? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You with me? Justified in the spirit, singing of angels, preach unto the Gentiles. Now that's the message of grace right there. See? Because the Jews the only one who was supposed to be saved. But grace brought the message that God wants to save all men. So the Apostle Paul preached to the Gentile the gospel of grace and told them that you can be saved also. I'm glad about that because you know we all Gentiles, you know. Believe on the world and receive up into glory. Now, let me ask these questions. Yeah. Why so many Christians have not received their breakthrough? Why so many things we have seen that God want us to have, but yet we have not reached that point? What's the problem? See, it's not because we don't have church. Man, we got churches open all over the world this morning, and we have church sometimes 5 days a week people have church. So it's not about going to church. Here's a godly loving person, a person who trying to do their best, but I believe one of the things is without the revelation of grace, we do not know how much God loves us. And we do not know, without this revelation, how much power we really have in Christ. And how powerful our prayers can be, how powerful our confession can be, how powerful our believing can be, how powerful our faith can be, how powerful our lives can be, because we don't understand the revelation of the mystery of the cross, or the mystery of grace that was manifested at the cross, and of the victory that God has already given us in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, in the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Say, can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
All believers want to live for who loved them so much and saved them. How many of y'all want to live for God? How many believers we got in the house? Hold your hand up. I believe that all believers want to live for God. All right? But you just can't automatically live for God. You have to know how to live for God. And you have to have divine assistance to live for God. And you got to know how to receive. You remember me saying, if you're going to run in life, you ran by. You see, people think they ran in life by achieving. Or they think success is by achieving things. No, success, you listening? Success to the believer is receiving.
Right.
Oh, man. See, our success is not in achieving. Our success is receiving. And we receive by believing.
That's
right. See, Romans 5:17, that's what it tells us. Look at Romans 5:17. Look at Romans 5:17 right quick. Romans 5:17. How many ready to reign in life? It's very simple. You got to stop trying to achieve and pause and take time to receive what God has already provided for you. It's already done, son. It's already done. See, you're believing. You're believing caused you to receive. Now, let's question it. If you're not receiving the right message, if you receiving a Ten Commandment keeping gospel, you already condemned. Because you can't keep the Ten Commandments. But if God has provided a way for me to believe and receive, I can have it. And he has. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I would like for you to do this now because the Spirit of God is prompting me to tell the person next to you the destiny of your life is about to change. Tell them you about to have an amazing trip. And I want you to say to them, What you always deserved. You understand what I'm saying, lad? I got to ask these questions. Is there a secret, a mystery by revelation I need to know? For it is time for me to trust God full goodness.
Yes.
Is there a secret, a mystery by revelation I need to know? For it is time for me to trust God full goodness.
Yes.
God has some full goodness waiting on you. But you can't get there automatically. You have to access it.
Right.
And this is what this message of grace is all about. This is what Satan deceptively tried to hide from us as believers that is already done. And he can't do nothing about it. He got up on the third day. You remember that? If he could have kept him down, we wouldn't have no victory here this morning. But he couldn't. Yay. I heard you. I heard you behind me. Yeah, pow. Listen, children, because on this manifestation of the revelation of these mysteries and these secret manifestation of your heart desire will come forth. Because the scripture now will come alive. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart. See, if you don't have that grace base, if you don't have the lining of grace around that with understanding, it's only going to be some words to you. But once you get in line with grace and recognize that he's saying something he's already done for you and that the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. Everything you desire as a child of God is not your battle to be fighting for it and trying to get another finance company to finance it. The battle is the Lord. He'll make it happen for you. The testimony of our last aircraft. My friend Jesse, the planet, the economic crisis was in the hole just a few years ago. And Jesse said, how in the world did those people finance that plan for you? I said, I don't know. I didn't do it. He said, the Lord just told me it's my plan. The man, we left them alone because they got talking about some crazy prices for the plan, brother. We left them alone, me, my son, and my wife. We left them alone. We had five or six bankers come here from our personal bank, and we sat down and told them what we wanted to do. And then the chief man with them said, well, suppose y'all don't get the plan. I said, what? We didn't call you here to make that decision. We just call you to see if you want to be in on it. But you're not going to decide whether we're going to fly in the plan or not because God already told us it's our plan. But we just want to know if he wants you to use you as a channel. You're not here to make no decision about ill, have or have not. You're here to see if you want to get in on it. Sometimes we get scared of these bankers and these business people when they come to us, and we let them override the Spirit of God. But I leave over there. Did I shut him down? Instantly. Well, I said, hold up, son. You're not making that decision. So what I'm saying, get you and your little group and get on up out of here, because y'all ain't stop what God want to do. We just trying to see what y'all want to get in on. And so, and so some 3 months later, well, my wife was talking to one of the ladies at the bank, and she said, did y'all ever get that plan? I said, oh, yeah, my husband have made 2 trips in the plan. But Jesse was asking me, I'm telling you how God can do things when you let God fight your battle. Jesse, the planter, was asking me, how did the people finance doing this because of the economic crunch? Remember when we went through that little crunch? Yeah. They went through that little crunch. This bunch had no business going through no crunch. Because I taught you ahead of time. I said, Jesse, they did it because we had left them alone. And they called back and told Leroy, I said, thank you. Congratulations for your plan. So they didn't finance the plan, put our name on it, and tell us just come get it. They don't know what happened themselves. Is it possible? I'm just asking a question now. I haven't got to the forte. Is it possible to change everything I need to change in my life? Do God still love me 100%? And to a large degree, because of shortcoming, because of mistakes that we have made, the church in preaching this do and don't gospel have caused us to lose the rhythm of grace. God still loves you when you mess up.
Yeah.
It's not a license to mess up, Bob. You don't need no license.
Amen.
No. We drive that without license. Because we're human. Y'all still know we're human, right?
That's right.
Huh? But God made a way for us not to stay in mistakes. All right. How many of you are listening to my voice? You're a child of God, but you're looking for some excuse to sin. See, because when you start teaching grace, they say it's a license to sin. I proved to you in Titus it's not a license to sin. But watch the question you ask now, because the questions are very important. You don't ask, I have to correct something now. Later, ask the husband, would you forgive me if I sin? See, that question should have never come up. See, that's playing with fire. You don't ask that kind of question to your husband. Is grace that deep? Bob asked Joe. Joe asked Bob. If I was to commit adultery, would you forgive me? You can't ask that kind of question because you're playing with fire. God says in His Word says any form of temptation come here give you a means to escape. But you got to be careful with your question because grace, Satan is going to try to displace us another way now.
Amen.
He's going to try to play with us with grace and have us doing and saying things that we shouldn't say to doubt grace. Now, Carol don't need to be asking me that question. I don't need to be hearing that. She don't need to be asking me, will you forgive me if I mess up? Don't ask me that crazy question like that. I don't want to hear that. And no man want to hear that. And no woman want to hear that either. See, because what now you get to the point where you're going to doubt grace, because I might forgive it, might not. I really don't know until it happened, and so God forbid it to happen. But right now we got one of the greatest grace transactions going on I ever heard of in my life, and I got to wait till it transpire, and I think it's supposed to transpire Monday. When it transpires next Sunday, I'm going to tell you about it. But it is amazing grace. All right. Let me see. I don't know if I'm going to deal with these highlights. I got some highlights. I call them highlights. But I need to get into our text. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I'm preaching with about 5 subjects. Just take them down and keep up the best way you can. But it's time to taste. What I said?
All the benefits
of God's grace.
Hallelujah.
It's time. How many of y'all ready to taste it?
Yes, sir.
It's time to taste. I'm tired of all this talk and reading all these scriptures and praying 9 hours and still getting up with the same battle. It's time to test all the benefits of God's grace. I want everybody in the house to say it. It's time to test all the benefits of God's grace. Now, that's not going to happen unless grace be preached to you. Not law, but grace. You can't keep the law, but grace can keep you. All right? Got it? All right. Now, Paul in Acts 20, he's called the apostle of grace because he got the revelation from the Lord. Even had problems with the other apostles because they couldn't understand that something was displacing the law or fulfilling the law or fulfilling the commandment. In Acts 20, 24, as he talked to the pastors at Ephesus about taking care of their churches, he gave them a synoptics of his ministry in one verse, what his ministry was all about. His ministry was a ministry of grace, and he would do anything. Paul said he would do anything to get this message out because he noticed a deliverance message. Now watch what he says in Acts 20, verse 24. You know, they was coming against him, and they were talking about bondage was waiting on him, and people were trying to stop him. But he says, but none of these things move me. You with me?
Yes,
neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. You see it?
Yes,
and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Now notice this last statement. This last statement is very important at this time in our lives. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now remember before I read another verse, remember in verse 32 what he said. Look at verse 32 of the same opening. Verse 32 of the same opening. Climatic moment. Now he's leaving them with his last blessing. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to what? And to what? And to what? The word of his grace, which is able to do what? And do what? Among all them, what y'all what? See, you have to know you're sanctified. The same word, sanctify you. Set you apart. We're so sin conscious in the church because we're preached at. We preach about adultery more than we preach about Jesus Christ. You know, you think adultery died on the cross for you. People, you know, people just whooped on all the time. Man, just show me the way to go. Huh? This is a map. All right? Are you with me? Now, another verse I want you to touch on, and then I'll begin to work, go to work. Another verse I want you to touch on, the Holy Spirit called this verse to my mind. Look in Acts chapter 4. I feel the presence of the Lord here. I'm tired just being condemned and worried and punished and shame and all that kind of stuff. And God has made a way for me to be free. Now, right, nobody in here looking for no excuse to sin, right? No, no, no. So I'll make a bold statement. I'll make a statement that preacher hold me for, but they've been holding me for a lot of things because I teach on a lot of prosperity, so they already got me jammed in the corner with a gun on me already. I tell God, people, you can be rich. And they say, you need to be poor because you be humble. Ain't nobody want to be poor. Ain't nobody got no time for this. Ain't nobody got no time for no lack and limitation, man. And God said, he come to them, might have life, might have more abundantly. Amen. You know, actually, in the Bible, when you read John 10:10, the thief come not to steal, kill, and destroy, it's really not just talking about Satan. It's talking about preachers, too. I'm talking about you read the 10th chapter. You read on down. They came through another door. And so actually, if you're not preached to properly, you're being preached to, you're being robbed by improper, come on, man, by improper information. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm not against nobody, understand? But I got to tell you the truth. So a lot of the stuff that have happened in people's lives is they've been what word I can use? I don't know how to use, I'm not too good at English. They've been robbing their own church. Good preachers, good people. But they all robbed because of wrong information. So the thief can just come along and take stuff from you because you don't have an anointing to say, hold up! You don't have the right to be up in here. Jesus already paid for this. Y'all get it after a while. Y'all get it in sleep tonight. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. May I announce it for the day, for the rest of your life. May great power and great grace be upon you and your house, you and your family. You're functioning from this day forward, great power and great grace, and you'll see great things. Amen? All right. Now here, let me work with the Apostle Paul here now. Acts 20:24. The Apostle Paul here declares his determination to minister this ministry of grace no matter what it takes. Could you agree with that? Look back at Acts 20:24. That's what he's saying. Is one of the greatest need of God's people and the only way God's people can be set free. Stick with me now. Look at Acts 20:24. I give you the definition. Here you go. You get another chance. I know you wrote 4 or 5 words down when I gave you the first time. This grace will have a divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude, knowing that I'm acceptable, benefits, favors, gifts. Do you know the difference between a gift and a reward? How many of y'all know the difference between a gift and a reward? I might call on you, put your hand up. You know the difference between a gift and a reward? You sure you know? All right, what's the difference? A gift is no string attached.
And reward is something that you've done and the reward is for doing it.
You got it, girl. See. A gift have no string attached. A reward is something you have to do in order to receive. You're receiving something for what you have already done. But a gift is just a gift. And that's why the Lord used that word gift. So grace is a gift. Joy, liberality, and pleasure, delight. I like this other word. Sweetness. Who was that old boy acting like a woman? What his name was? No. Flip Wilson. I believe you to say, how sweet it is. And the church don't know nothing about that sweetness. Grace produces a sweetness. Grace is the flavor in your Kool-Aid. Grace is the icing on the cake. Nobody want no cake without no icing. I mean, if you're going to mess up, just going to eat a nice piece of cake. And so the sweetness have left the church. A church can't be sweet without miracles. It can't be sweet without signs and wonders. It can't be sweet. The church can't be sweet without defeat. You have to learn to live without defeat. You have to learn to stand up before Goliath and tell him, lay down. Amen. But grace, when your life is operating in the grace of God, you become a giant. You become victorious. You become happy. You become peaceful. You become healthy. You become wealthy. You have joy in your home, not just on Christmas. Every day be Christmas. About 2 hours from now, it'll be Christmas in my house again. When I get home, it's going to be Christmas all over. To experience the gospel of the grace of God, it must be preached properly with no compromise. Now, let's go. Number one, first of all, we can't and will not let so many things move us so easily from our position of victory. Get this now, because we got this in our text. You see, Paul say, I will not be moved. Go back to Acts 20, because we need to work with this now. It's the way the Lord revealed it to me. Look, Look, the Lord reveals things to me to tell you from this verse. All right, Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me. But none of these things move me. Because you have a lot of things moving in the world, but you got to get in a position that none of those things move me. I know who I am in Christ. I know who Christ is in me. And I know I'm going to come out all right. I don't care what the rest say going on. I'm not going to let all this stuff move me. The church is moved just like a society, a social club. We shouldn't be moved like that. So listen to this statement. First of all, we can't and will not let so many things move us so easily from our position of victory. Now, here's some of our position of victory. The finished work of Christ is already done. On the cross, crucified, buried, rose, ascended, seated, sent the Holy Spirit. I'll let nothing move me from that. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit cannot be defeated. And the Holy Spirit live on the inside of me. And so that's going to, such a wish is going to come up, things going to come up in my life. I know that's going to challenge my life. But I'm going to stand, I'm telling you, I'm not going to be moved. Because in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. You know, the church worried you like other people. You ain't got, you're a Christian. You ain't got no business being worried. God got it. Jesus rose on the third day, declared all power is in my hand in heaven and earth. Now, somebody got to tell the truth. Somebody got to tell the truth. I want somebody to tell the truth. Somebody got to tell the truth here today. Somebody got to tell the truth. How many of y'all have ever been moved by a situation that caused stress, anxiety, and worry, and all of a sudden, God worked it out? That's not going to happen to you anymore. I want you to remain in your position of victory. Your position of victory is the greatest position of victory that ever exists, because your position of victory is the highest victory that exists, because it's in Christ. So Paul said, I got to preach this gospel of grace. I'm not moved by it. I'm not all these things move me. They're talking about putting me in bondage. They're talking about killing me. I'm not letting them move me. I got an assignment to do. I'm going on. I know he in whom I trusted is able to keep that which I. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, it is important, number two, it's important to live fully by the faith of the Son of God. And yield fully to the grace given to us by him. Let me give you that again. We're going to read two verses. We're going to read a verse on that. It is important to live fully by the faith of the Son of God and yield fully to the grace given to us by him, or given us by him. So we're back at Ephesians 2 and 8. We're dealing with grace and faith. Grace and faith. Grace and faith. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live, now watch this, I live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2, 20, who loves me and gave himself for me. Are you with me, class? Are you with me now? See, we're talking about it is important to live fully by the faith of the Son of God. Not by your own faith, by the faith of the Son of God. What he says, and yield fully to the grace given us by him. All right? Now, so that scripture, I quoted that scripture. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. See, not I. See, it is not my battle. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh. You're still living in the flesh, right? I live not by my self-effort. Not by human ability. But I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now watch it. Why you be crucified? Watch Christ be crucified now. Who loved me. And they tell me why he was crucified. And gave himself for me. Now, The next voice is important. The next voice. The important lie in the next voice. The 21st voice. You remember that girl gave us a definition of the difference between a gift and a reward? We have to stop becoming frustrated about everything. How many of y'all ever been frustrated before? I'm going to have a house, the church here, going to be honest this morning. I've been frustrated before you and found out I didn't need to be frustrated or God handled the thing. I stayed in 4 weeks of frustration for nothing. If I trust him, if I know how to walk in grace, it would have never happened to me. I want you to understand now, we're talking about, let me get back here now because I want this to stay on you. It's time to taste all the benefits of God's grace. One of the benefits of God's grace is not being frustrated. If you stay in voice 20, you don't have to worry about voice 21. But if you understand voice 20, you're going to live in voice 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, if righteousness come by what I do and what I don't do. See, because some people think they're righteous today and they lied yesterday, tomorrow, not in unrighteous, so they're going to get the righteous the next day. Now, your sins, your preachers, all right, preacher, shoot me. Your sins don't make you unrighteous. You know, we got problems here because we got people who've been raped and they live their whole life thinking they're not nothing because somebody else did them wrong. We got people who went through all. We got women who have loved their husband to the fullest and the fool walked out for some filly and gone. We cannot be holding these things. We got to go on with our lives. Satan be saying it's something you did, you know. He's trying to condemn you. Always trying to, we got to get, listen, this gentleman, we got to get from under condemnation. We got to stop condemning people for smoking a cigarette. Well, when you became God, where can you find the Bible? And I would rather for a person to not smoke. And I tell you what, the way to stop smoking is get your cigarette out and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Smoke your two. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Get your drink to go along with it. I'm the righteousness of God. You're a Christian. You're going to quit. That righteousness is going to rise up in you. You won't know how to stop. See, you can't stop by somebody calling you a sinner because you smoke. You're not no sinner because you smoke. You're just a smoking Christian. They ain't going to take you to hell. We just want to get this thing straight, man. We done cut too many little rubber balls. That's why people don't want to come to church. The preachers with all these little rubber balls, cutting these little rubber balls. And then just anything you want to quit. Anybody got any habit? Pornography? Come on, listen to me. Drug? Let me tell you right now. I ain't got to tell you, you're going to take it anyway. But when you take it, do this for me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you're sitting there watching that pornography, say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Change channel. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just keep on doing that for me as a pastor. That's where I'm going to take care of you. That's what I'm going to do. Just say, Pastor, say, yeah. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're in the act of adultery, lay up there. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just lay up there. I'm the righteousness of God. There are real Christians. See, a real Christian, you coming out. A real Christian going to come to their spiritual senses, going to quit this mess. They're going to quit this mess, man. You see me, bro? I'm the righteous. Say it, everybody. I'm the righteous. And I want you, not as a chant, not as a formula, but I want you to be announcing to yourself who you really are. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because I have done some wrong thing does not mean I'm not still righteous. I just got to remind myself of this crazy stuff I'm letting take my life over So I'm going to make a declaration of who I am until I walk back into who I am. Say it. God love me.
God love me.
This I know.
This I know.
He love me now.
He love me now.
Not later.
Not later.
Right now.
Right now.
Everybody.
Everybody.
In this room.
In this room.
Know
that God loved
them. Do it have any? Watch it. Watch this now. Watch this. Do it have any sin in the room? Absolutely. Absolutely. How many believers we got in this house? I think everybody just about in this house is a believer. Well, God love you right now, wherever you are. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
You got to know that because perfect love casts out fear. Satan tried to put fear on us. Satan tried to put doubt on us. And because we made a mistake, Satan tell us we're not even saved no more. You're not saved. You know you're not saved. I have to take you on a little side journey now. I see it. That's going to bless your life forever. Go to 1 John. We'll come back. I got to take you on a little side journey now. I got to let you see this because we've been messing around too much. These voices, I never could understand these voices to their fullness, but in after the revelation of the gospel of grace, I understand it better now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Look at the next thing they say about God. Look at the next thing. He knew you messed up. You still his child and knoweth all things. Then it goes on in verse 21 says this, hallelujah. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Hallelujah.
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 I'm almost through. I just want to shoot at one or two more things here. I've got to go for it. Go back to Acts 20. You must never lose your joy by condemnation, torment, or being punished, judgment, or hindering the force of grace from finishing your life in Christ. How many of y'all ever felt condemnation? How many of y'all ever missed God and felt bad about it for months? You was already forgiven. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, it doesn't mean all us walk in the pearly streets of holiness. But it means there's a track on that street if you want it. And I'm telling you, as long as you stay under condemnation, as long as you try to keep the commandment by your own power, by human flesh, by human effort, or by reading 10 chapters, or by staying on your knees 2 hours, that's not going to do it. You have to know by faith, it's by grace. You have to, it's something that you have to receive. And I'm a living right pastor. I live right. I'm not perfect, you understand? But I live right. I'm not practicing no sin. Because I don't believe a believer can practice sin. The only thing that causes a believer to practice sin is ignorance. Because now that believer believes that that sin is stronger than Christ. And nothing's stronger than him. But the church needs to be able to walk people out of it. Need to love people in the midst because they're still believers. You mean tell me I sin and I'm ashamed to go to my church? That's like being sick, doc, and ashamed to go to the doctor. Who can help you? Why, when your car breaks, you take it to the mechanic shop? You want it fixed, right? So the church is made for when you're broke, come to the church where grace and the gospel can fix it for you. Let Jesus fix it for you. For he knows just what to do. I felt that. I felt somebody got set free just now. You felt it? I felt that right there. I heard somebody say, I love my pastor. Jesus, amen, my pastor. My pastor teaches me the truth, man. I love my pastor. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, and I came out on a rough edge, brother. I was on a cutting. Because whatever I go after, see, Paul was a persecutor. He would drag people who believed in Christ behind his horse. Then he got converted. So I'm like the Apostle Paul. When I find something out, organization, big groups, large ministry, they can't stop me. I said, fellas, excuse me. Because I'm going to pursue the Lord. And that's why I'm so blessed. The Lord bless me. Because I walk away from you. If I see something and you try to hold me back, goodbye. Because I'm going with the Lord, me. Talk to me. What? I'm going with the Lord. And I'm not ashamed. Paul said, not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I couldn't preach this until I got to it. It took me 39 years to get to it. Now, I preached some good messages to you, but it wasn't a full message of grace because I was here talking about, you know, fussing about adultery, fussing about who's who, and letting one adulterer mess up 2,000 people. Or two adulterers. You see what I'm saying? I must preach the gospel. It is the gospel that set people free. It is God's amazing grace that puts you in your place. When you hear about the goodness of God, it checks your life. I want to please him. I want to walk before him in the land of the living. I want to give him the glory. God love me, say it.
God love me.
Right now.
Right now.
As you're healing. As you're healing. As your prosperity right there. Knowing that God. God love me.
God
want me to have the best.
I receive.
In the name of Jesus.
And
not a real, I'm going to use my, and no real Christian want to sin. But in Alcoholic Anonymous, it tell them, say, you got to keep saying, I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. So if I preach sin to you every Sunday, what are you going to do? You have faith for sinning.
You have to know that you're already forgiven.
God knew we were going to make mistakes.
condemnation and guilt is the two streets that Satan used to keep you sick, to keep you broke, to make you die early. Anybody got no time to die early? So don't let him put that guilt. You messed up. You know you messed up. You're a believer. Don't you know how to get straight? Lord, I'm sorry. A Christian never do nothing wrong without a touch. The Holy Spirit is the toucher. And if you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit right after. Even prior to doing it. And what, as I teach you about grace, you're going to know how to respond to that touch. Yeah, Pastor, but I had a drink last night. Two, three. Scotch. You still a Christian? Boy, I got some preachers now. Preachers, they don't like this. Oh, no, you can't be telling them people that. No, I'm telling people the Bible. Man, if a drink take my Christianity and send me to hell, I didn't have much at the beginning. See, the reading talk about drinking. Drinking take your money from you. Drinking, you get drunk. You don't know where you're going. You're a hassle on the street. You might kill somebody. But it's really not a hellfire thing, a hell. It's not going to really take you to hell. Boy, y'all got quiet. Yeah. It's not going to take you to hell. You can't find that in the Bible. Now, it might take you to heaven early. Now, and it might make you lose your family. But, you know, it may not take you to hell, but you might lose your family. You might lose a good wife and some good children. Because with your crazy self, you ain't never home, and you're coming there all crazy every time you come home. I mean, I can't do nothing about that. You might lose that, but you're still a Christian. Well, I'll tell you right now. I love my wife and my children and my grandchildren too much. So a drink don't mean that much to me. And I ain't gonna get drunk acting no clown, because I know ain't nobody gonna put up with no fool all their life. Somebody might put up with a fool part of their life, but you ain't put up with a fool all your life. Sit down, I'm gonna give you a few more words and then I'm gonna go. All you do, pour your scotch in the glass, pour a little 7-Up, take your sip and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All you gotta do? You smoke weed? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, this is it. It's deliverance, boy. This is victory right here. I'm the right. See, because you become condemned, he's gonna make you smoke again. And he's gonna make you drink again. But you got to testify to yourself. I'm the righteousness of God. Say it. Now that's this grace teaching. See, here's a secret. Grace is not afraid of sin. The church at large is afraid of sin. So if a sinful Christian, a sinful Christian come into church, the church scared of them. I didn't say no sinner. I say a Christian who is in sin, the church. You hear this man testimony. Former drug addict, lost his business, like the loss of a good wife, like the loss of his children. Now he's back in business for his class. We'll start telling you because of the grace of God. He said, and my teacher, because he comes sit here when he's in trouble, he came sit here, just sat under the teacher. And kept coming every Sunday. His life started changing. I mean, but I'm talking about major. I'm talking about major drug. I ain't talking about no little smoke every now and then. I'm talking about a joker going out of his mind. If nobody else in you believe in grace,
hallelujah.
That's right. And here's another person believing in grace. Because I forgot, the first year of marriage, I wasn't saved. So she can sing Amazing Grace by herself. Amazing Grace. She never thought she was going to have it so good. It was grace that brought us thus far. I know about grace. Grace can change your life, man. Grace changed my life. From a street runner, player, deuce. So I know grace real. I know there's changing power in grace. And I know that God love you. I know God love you, you know. All right, let me try to close. Sit down. I'm going to give you one more, then we're going to close, all right? One more. And we'll kick the rest up. Now Wednesday night, you're missing it because Wednesday, I'm still teaching on it. Now, see, y'all got to break the old tradition. See, only these two sections fill on Wednesday night. I don't know where the rest of y'all be. Y'all still think. No, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you. You still think you're in the same old normal Christianity. You're not in this church. It's going on. Wednesday night we come out here, and I'm teaching on grace again Wednesday night. I don't want you to miss these messages. You need to be here, and you need to break that tradition by I'm going to church just Sunday. You need, amen.
Amen.
Because suppose I ask the question, how many Sunday Christians do I have in here? Nobody won't raise their hand. Nobody. Remember, you should have never asked that question. That ain't grace. I know. If I could just break you up from this country thinking or this Louisiana thinking, you got a good message going from the pulpit. Whether I'm preaching or one of my sons preaching or if I got one of them boys preaching, they're going to preach your message. Won't you take our time Wednesday night for just an hour and a half and come here, please? It's too important for you to miss this. Now, let me give you the last point. Turn to Hebrews 12. I'm going to close here right here. You must never lose your joy by condemnation, torment, or being punished, judgment, or hindering the force of grace from finishing your life in Christ. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we're going to read this verse and I'm going to close. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get anything?
Yes, sir.
We'll take up your next Sunday. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, in that cloud of witnesses, you had a liar. You had a drunk. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied. Sarah laughed at what God told her she was going to have a baby. She laughed. The angels was at the place. She laughed. She said and lied and said she didn't laugh. And God got them in the hall of faith.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 11. What happened? They kept on believing. So he said, wherefore seeing we are also compared to the Bible with so great a cloud of witnesses. You remember Lot? Who went to Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot who went with Abraham. And then Lot who went. You know Peter called him a righteous man three times? Do you know God couldn't destroy Solomon and Gomorrah with Lot in it? One righteous man. God said, I can't do nothing until you get a righteous Lot out. And they had just got through arguing. He had just disrespect Abraham. So you can see it's not based on your squeak walking. Even though you want to live right. You understand what I'm saying? But don't let Satan trick you that you're not a believer. I'm trying to talk to you. Don't you let Satan trick you that you're not a child of God. Don't let Satan trick you that you don't have the victory. You have the victory. Look at somebody and tell them, you have the victory. In Christ. Tell them right now. Today. Tell them you can have what you say. You can have what you want. You can have what you desire, for the Lord has already paid for it. Shucks.
Wherefore, seeing we are also compared about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which though so easily what? Which so what? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, sin. Wait. It beset us. What do you thank the blood for? Huh? Now, here's how you do that. Looking unto Jesus. Come on, help me. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, it is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Give God praise. Stand on your feet. I say it's sort of time consumption because of so many things I'm trying to get accomplished that, you know, I'm not cutting off at the 45 minute. And briefly, we're going to receive offering in a few moments, and we're going to walk and take our communion. We're out of here in a few moments. But I want you to take communion. The reason I'm having you taking communion every Sunday is because the benefits of that.